morning. Thank you for being here today. As Brother Mike stated, yesterday was the anniversary for Dorothy and I of moving to Tipton. And over the past 10 years, it seems that so much has happened. Mostly good, but there's been times of despair and anguish, surgeries, not only for myself, but my wife, loss of loved ones, and in particular, recently, our daughter. But it's been a pleasure to serve here, and I want to thank each and every one for the opportunity of allowing me to work here with the congregation in Tipton. I pray to God just about every night. Well, I pray to God every night, but just about in every prayer, I thank my Father in heaven for allowing me to be here with the Church of Tipton. It's hard to express what I feel about the love and the concern that my wife and I have received here from this congregation. Every place that I have been to and other congregations that I have attended over the years, I have told them that this is the only congregation that I have ever worked at that my wife and I do not feel like the hired hands, but like family, like we've been here our whole lives. And I do appreciate that. Four things I need to hear God say. In Amos chapter 8, starting in verse 11, I want you to think about this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor of thirst, or of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that passage there says a lot to me. There have been times in my life that I didn't know where the next meal was coming from. For me, there was a famine of bread and water. But think about this. Think about the Word of God. Just think about all of a sudden, every Bible, whether written, online, on CD, tapes, simply disappeared. We would not be able to read because we have nothing to read. Many have memorized a lot of verses, but yet that's not the same as opening your Bibles and reading. How would we feel if there was a famine of God's Word today? There have been times when people have not heard the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Well, Samuel is saying here, literally is that at this time, the Word of God was precious simply because it was scarce. The Lord had not been speaking a lot. Then it goes on and says that there was no open visions. There were not many visions. If you read on, you'll understand a little bit more about Samuel. He heard the word. He heard God speak, but he thought it was Eli. And he goes in and says, "I'm here. What do you want?" This happens like three times. Finally, Eli told Samuel, "The next time you hear this, say, 'Here am I, Lord.'" Can you imagine not being able to read God's Word again? There's a movie. It's called The Book of Eli. An apocalypse had taken place. The world was towards the end, and there was bands of murderers and thieves and robbers, and there was one place, and as it turned out, it was on Alcatraz. But one place that man was trying to rebuild society. And this one man carried a book across the United States because there were no Bibles anymore. They'd all disappeared, burned up. But there was one man that was trying to get that Bible because he knew that it was precious. But he also knew that that Word of God will allow him to control the people. Well, he finally got his hands on it. But as it turned out, it was a Bible in Braille. And he couldn't read Braille. But the man had memorized the entire Bible. And when he finally made it to the safe haven, he laid down and he spoke the Word of God, and the man wrote word for word. Can you imagine not having the Word of God anywhere in the world? But there's four things that I would like to hear. Again, Amos chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to even the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." How blessed are we today? You can go into just about any store, department store, and you can find a Bible to buy. You can go online and you can read the Bible online. You don't have to have it in printed form. But just think of what it would be like not to have the Word of God. Amos says here the people were going to run from sea to sea, from the north to the east, looking, wanting the Word of God, but yet not finding it. Thankfully, God has today completed His revelation. And I believe He has addressed all of the things that we need to hear. The first thing that I want to hear from God is, "I love you." How many of us don't like to hear those words spoken to us? There's not a day that goes by that I do not tell Dorothy I love her. She says the same thing to me. And sometimes you'll say, have I told you today? We all want to be loved. We all want to hear someone say to us, I love you. And that's exactly what God has said to us. John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world. Literally, right here, John's writing to the world. God says, I love you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And then we can read over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. God has said, I love you in so many ways. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. God says right here, I love you. Then in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word commendeth there literally means to set together, to exhibit. God simply didn't say, I love you. He showed His love to us. And I think it's important for us to fully understand that God in His Word has said, I love you. Secondly, I want to hear, I forgive you. Again, how many of you that maybe have said something or done something that was wrong, and you want to hear from that other person words of forgiveness? How many of you have ever gotten an argument with someone and turns out that the argument was baseless, and you sought the words, I forgive you? 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John very plainly says here that God said, I forgive you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just a portion, but all. Psalms 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Do we really grasp what the writer here is telling us? As far as the east is from the west. Someone tell me, if you go off in that direction, which is east, how far would you have to go before it turned to west? It'll never turn to west, because you would always be going east. And the same is true if we went in that direction, west. How far would you have to go before all of a sudden you started going east? It'll never happen. And that's the idea that the psalmist here is trying to get us to understand. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed the transgressions from us. In other words, once those sins are forgiven, they'll never be brought back up. You know, it's not like us humans, where if we are sinned against, when something else takes place, we always come back with, well, I remember when. When God says, I forgive you, that's the end of it. God is not going to come and have you stand before Him and say, I remember when. It's not going to happen. If our sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. The only problem is, we have a hard time of forgiving ourselves. We need not worry about ourselves. Worry about hearing from God, I forgive you. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again and He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I don't know about you, but that's pretty reassuring, isn't it? Compassion, literally to love, subdue, conquer. Once God says, I forgive you, our iniquities are cast away into the depths of the sea, as Micah writes here. And for those living in Micah's day, the sea was a very mysterious place. Just think about what Micah is talking about. When God says, I forgive you, the sins are remembered no more. They're cast away, never to see the light of day. God's strength is perfected in human weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is the Apostle Paul. He had some form of infirmity. We don't really know what the issue was. Some believe it was his eyes. Some believe that it was his hands. Some believe that it was his feet or his legs. But it makes no difference what the infirmity was. He had prayed 3 times to have it taken from him so he could be, you know, more effective. But Christ said to him, My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Too many times we try to stand on our own merit. We try to, as they say, stand on our own 2 feet. But yet, Paul is being told here by Christ that, hey, you don't need to worry about your infirmity, because you're made strong by Me in your weakness. Too many times we need to realize God is still able to hold us up when we feel that we can't go on. God's strength is perfected in human weakness. Last part of that verse, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brothers and sisters, we cannot stand on our own merits. We can't. It is through Christ and Christ alone that we have strength and stamina to withstand the wiles of the devil. Infirmities, feebleness. Have you ever felt feeble, weak? Lord, I just don't know how I can do this. Reproaches, insults. Have you ever been insulted? I imagine most of you have at one point in time. But have you ever been insulted because of Christ? What about necessities, needful? You ever been in need? Distress, calamity, anguish. We've all shed tears over our lives. But yet have we shed tears over the souls of lost men and women? We need to understand that our imperfect life is very fertile ground for God. You know, many times people will want to wait until they have straightened their life out. Many times people want to wait till their life is perfect before they obey the gospel. But our imperfect life is very fertile ground for the Almighty God. Thirdly, we all want to hear this. You can do better than this. Don't we? We want to be encouraged to do better. I want to hear that. You can do better than this. In our song books, there's a song entitled, Just As I Am. Now, while it is true that God loves us just as we are, He loves us too much to permit us to stay that way. The song is not an anthem of tolerance, but it is a prelude to transformation. Just as I am is fine. But we cannot stay just as we were. John chapter 8, verse 11. She said, No man, Lord. Remember this passage? The Jews have brought a woman who had been found in a fornication, adultery. And they were trying to accuse her. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Just as I am. The woman. Just as she was. God told her, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. You can do better than this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You can do better than this. You know, some people just don't get it. Some people simply do not understand that there is a time when we need to grow up. How many times has someone perhaps said to you, or maybe you have said to someone else, Why don't you just grow up? There's a time when we have to get rid of the milk and go to the strong meat. But here the writer is condemning those people because even though they had been taught, they had simply refused to grow up. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. They've not grown up. He's saying, you can do better than this. This is God telling us, you can do better than this. It's time to grow up. He goes on in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Brothers and sisters, isn't it time that perhaps we grow up? God is saying you can do better than this. And finally, how many of us, I know I want to hear this, how many of you would like to hear, well done? How many of you want to hear on the day of judgment, well done? I don't know of many words that inspire us more or cause us to aspire to greater things than the two words, well done. All of us long, I believe, to hear words of acceptance and approval. All of us do. We want acceptance and we want approval. God says, well done. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. We all understand here this is the parable of the talents. He gave one servant 5 talents. Another servant he gave 2. Another servant he gave 1. And the one that had 5 talents put those talents to work and gained 5 more. And the one that the Lord had gave 2 talents, he'd done exactly the same thing and gained 2 more. But the last one, he was afraid. And he went and hid his talent. And in the end, he was condemned. He was not called a faithful servant. He did not hear the words, well done. You know, Jesus does all things well. Mark chapter 7 and verse 37, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Jesus does all things well, but we do not. These are 4 things that I need to hear from God's Word. And it's there for us if we will but read and listen. God says, I love you. God says, I forgive you. And God also says, you can do better than this. all want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." If you're here this morning and not a Christian,